Are we wired up now? Okay, good. Thank you, Dave.
In Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and for those of you that haven't been with us for the past 3 weeks, we've begun a little short study in this area from 14:25 through chapter 15. And Jesus is realizing that he is facing the cross, that he's headed towards Jerusalem. He knows what's ahead. And verse 25 says, large crowds were following after Jesus. And he turned to them and he said, if any of you are going to follow me and be my disciples, and we've been hanging out here, that being a disciple of Jesus cost. Now, the people were following him because, well, it was free bread and fish day. Feed them and they will come. And not only that, he was healing all their sick and wounded. He was actually raising people from the dead. You can imagine why a lot of people were following him, but he's saying this, if you're going to follow after me, what he's doing is thinning out the crowd. He says, here's what it takes. The cost of following me takes everything. Number one in relationships. Number one in my life career. Number one in all areas. And what it costs to be a follower of Jesus could simply say, everything you have or ever will have or be, it costs to follow Jesus. You say, I can't afford that. Yes, you can. When you weigh out the blessings and the benefits of what Christ brings into our life, you'd be a fool. You'd be a fool not to. So Jesus tells us the cost. And then turning into chapter 20 or 15, it says that the religious types were there, and they were saying, this guy eats with sinners. There's a cultural expectation that the spiritual elite, if you were really following God and being pleasing to him, you didn't hang out with sinners. And Jesus goes from the cost of following him to why we're here, why you and I are here for his purpose, and that's the lost. And he tells us about himself. And so there is this turn from the cost to the lost, which is dear to Jesus' heart, which ought to be dear to our heart. And so chapter 15, he turns us towards the focus of the cross is to go after the lost. After we've paid the cost, we go after the lost. We're going to cover one of those parables or stories this morning that Jesus told in regard to the lost. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke 15, and starting in verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Jesus paints the picture of a shepherd who has 100 sheep. Can I tell you, it began all the way in the Old Testament with Abraham. Abraham was a rich man because he had a lot of sheep. If you counted bucks back then, no, you counted livestock, you counted cattle, you counted especially sheep. How many? And it was the quality of shepherding that you gave your sheep that gave a lot of the reputation in that day. So all the way back, starting with Abraham, if you had a lot of sheep, you were a rich person. This shepherd has a lot of sheep, but he loses one. And we're going to find out that he really doesn't lose it. It wanders off. And he leaves the 99. By the way, there were usually other people to help. He didn't abandon 99 for the sake of one. There were other shepherds in the flock, but he went after the lost sheep. Jesus is telling us here the picture that we see all through the old. Sheep have this propensity or are prone to wander. Now, how many of you have had a lot to do with sheep? Well, we have a hard time making this analogy of Jesus' story today. I can tell you personally, I've not had a lot to do with sheep. I know on one occasion, my wife and I were up in the Rockies on vacation with our kids, and we had our van, and we were going through this beautiful mountain valley, and it just kind of cutting our own path through, and we ran into a herd of sheep that were crossing in front of us. It was interesting because the sheep, one of them would jump and the other one would jump, and we figured as we're watching these sheep jump that there was a rock, and I'm trying to figure navigating around that rock, and then the herd passed and there wasn't a rock there at all. One of them jumped, the other one jumped, the next one jumped. Isn't that the way with sheep? Now, I don't know what you know about sheep, but as far as I'm concerned, they're some of the dumbest animals on earth. And yet Jesus says, you and I are sheep. I don't really care for that analogy. Sheep, when you think this through, sheep have no horns, they have no fangs, they have no claws, they don't even have fast feet. They're slow creatures. And what happens when danger comes or a predator comes, they're just so open and liable if they don't have a shepherd. Sheep are some dumb animals. And sheep have this tendency to go astray. They are prone to wander. Do you realize the analogy is about you and me? You and I, we are sheep. We are so much like sheep. It's hard to accept, but that's exactly what Jesus is saying. You and I are the sheep, and we have this propensity to wander. And sheep, wandering sheep, get distracted. Now, years ago, we had a gal in our church from Wisconsin who was a shepherdess. She was here for the winter months, and so I had a chance to sit down with her numerous times and pick her brain about sheep, because God's Word talks so much about it, and He compares you and I to sheep, and here's some of the things that she told me. Sheep are easily distracted. She said they can be quietly grazing with the herd, and they see a ground squirrel or something go off, and they'll just kind of meander off it. They're nosy. They're distracted by stuff, and so they lose where they're at with the flock. Are you and I easily distracted? Don't answer that question. Why do you think they put so much commercials on TV? We are people, oh, what's this about? Oh, what's that about? And we're distracted here and there. We're distracted because we live in a culture that says, you don't have enough. You deserve more. Why don't you have it your way? Get deeper in debt, right? I love what I am hearing from FPU. For those of you who don't know that, that is Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey, and he teaches how biblically to get out of debt. Just had another testimony this morning from a couple that are in there, and they are getting so much out of it. Only second week in. I don't know where you're at, but chances are, if you wanted to be honest with me, you're not financially where you want to be. And a lot of us are upside down. I hear stories all the time about young couples breaking up. You know the number one cause for divorce in America? Finances. You know what happens? We get distracted. We think we need more. Tell me we're not like sheep. Yeah, we are. She went on to say, not only are sheep easily distracted, she says they're entangled. They get entangled in things. Now, sheep produce wool, which we still use today. It's useful in our economy. But they shear the sheep in the springtimes around when they have the ewes or the babies. And it's not anything that hurts the sheep. What she told me was, it's interesting, while the sheep are being sheared, they don't make a sound. Remember the shepherd Jesus, as he was being crucified, didn't make a sound. He bore up underneath that. She said, sheep, when they're sheared, she said, their wool will grow down, sometimes in front of their eyes. It'll literally blind them if they don't get it sheared. So really, they are doing the sheep a favor, a service, when they shear them. They also run them through a bath that takes care of, they swim through a bath or vat that takes care of things that can irritate their skin. And the shepherd puts things on their face where the flies will bore in and leave eggs and cause them torment. There's so much that's going on, but their wool gets easily entangled. She says it's nothing for them to get caught in a briar patch. The wool actually captures them and they can't get out. They think they're going to greener pastures. You know, just like us when we get in debt, we're going to greener pastures, right? It's not green pastures, it's just concrete painted green. Grass isn't greener on the other side. Boy, we are so much like sheep, and we are so prone to wander. She says if the shepherds don't get them out of the briars, they're stuck. They'll literally die there. They get debris, leaves and things in their wool, and they can't get it out. As much as they scratch and itch, they are helpless without a shepherd, and they are lost. Sheep get entangled in the things of this world. Boy, does that not sound like us? She went on to say, and they get overwhelmed. Sheep can get in the mud, and the mud can get in their wool, and they can become so heavy that they're entrapped. They're overwhelmed. They can't deal with their situation. They're totally helpless. She explained to me, too, that sheep, when they get down and turned over, they have a gastrointestinal system that if they're not turned back up on their feet very slowly and brought back up, they'll die. They'll actually suffocate themselves from inside out. I got to thinking, how many of us get overwhelmed by how many things? It's not just by finances. It's about relationships. How many of you, I was just speaking to a widow this morning, a relatively new widow. You know, when you become single again because the other half of you is gone, it's easy to become overwhelmed. I love the 40-some widows that are a part of this family that are cared for and loved. But widows are special. As you go to the luncheon this afternoon, you want to know the heart of God. The heart of God, when you look at the Old Testament, was he cared for those who were helpless, who couldn't defend themselves. He cared for the orphans, the widows, the alien, the people that they didn't have anybody there to help them. He said, you make sure you help them. Now, we care for widows in this church. There's a widow ministry that meets on Wednesday night. There's a lot going on, but I'll tell you what we're about to do with the fostering. If there is any orphans in our society today, any of those that are left out, that can't help themselves, it's these kids who need some housing and love. I hope you'll begin to work with us. Maybe not taking a kid into your home, but helping, supporting, being a part of what's going on. Because the shepherd cared for the sheep, and the sheep can get overwhelmed. Sheep can get overwhelmed by a number of things internally. I think of the drug addiction, the alcoholic addiction, and people get overwhelmed. There's something worse than death, and I believe it's divorce. And when someone says, I'm leaving you, I don't love you, I'm not sure I ever did, that's overwhelming. And to be single again and have kids, it can be overwhelming. You see, we do get overwhelmed just like sheep. You know what she called that sheep when they get down and they can't back up? They call it casting. The sheep's casting. And the shepherd knows how you can't lift it right up. You have to turn it back over off its side, on its belly, let it rest for a while, and then help it to get its legs up under it. Can I tell you that there are a lot of people here that deal with addictive issues, that deal with relational issues, that need that gentle rolling up, getting their feet under them and helping them get on their way. I'm not a big fan of her, but one of the things that Beth Moore says that I really remember, she says, sin will take you farther than you ever thought you'd go, keep you longer than you had ever thought you'd stay, and cost us more than we ever thought we'd have to pay. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the case? I look at my life and I thought, okay, yeah, I have a few beers with the guys after work. After all, that's just camaraderie, right? Never knowing where it would lead to. Never knowing what it would cost. How many of us, I don't know how many people I've talked to that used to be a part of CCW and they were distracted and they were pulled away. And I'll meet them in the grocery store. I'll meet them out in public, and they'll say, "Hey, Pastor Dave," says, "Man, my life's a mess right now. I would you pray for me? I don't know what happened. I used to be a part of CCW. I used to be a part of a small group. I had good relationships, and then my kid, you know, started playing soccer, and we started traveling for the weekend, and we started distracted." Distracted, and then we start hanging with this group of people, entangled. And then this happened in my marriage, this happened in my life, overwhelmed. You see, God knows us, and you and I are just like sheep. We're sheep, and we are so prone to wander. That's a natural thing. We want to check stuff out. We want to find out things for ourselves, and we get pulled into this interest. And these people say, "Pray for me, Dave," and I'll stop and pray for them. But you know, come back. I invite them back. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. Why? Because all we like sheep have gone astray. Do you realize how much you and I are just like God said, we are sheep? In this passage of Scripture, though, this sheep probably wandered off. He lost a sheep, but he left the 99 open country, and he went after that sheep. I'm sorry. Sheep without a shepherd are lost and soon dead. Kathy and Tim Helmuth, most of you know Kathy, if you call the office, you'll probably get her voice, or Lois's. And they were involved in a Christian campground that had a petting menagerie of animals that they kept. And one day, the pen door was left open, and one of the managers woke up, and all the pets were outside his front door, like saying, "Come on, it's time to feed us." That's all the pets were out there except one, the sheep. The sheep wasn't there. So he shooed all the pets back into the pen, and they were all accounted for except this one sheep. And they went looking for the sheep. And they looked for days, didn't find the sheep. And then one day, they saw buzzards in the woods.
They saw him flying overhead, and sure enough. Now, here's what's crazy. That sheep was only like hundreds of feet away from food and water. It was by a lake, but it died. Can I be brutally honest with you? If you think you can live this life without a shepherd, you are dead. You are dead. And if you are not with the shepherd, Jesus Christ, you are spiritually dead, and you'll die twice. Once physically and once spiritually. Jesus went after the sheep. Sheep without a shepherd are lost and dead. I don't know where you're at. You may have been religious all your life, but let me tell you, go back and read what Jesus said in chapter 14. Being religious won't cut it. It's having a shepherd that you have a relationship with, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you were to peruse through, and I love doing this in the past few weeks, I just took the word sheep and shepherd and looked all the way through the Old Testament. And time and time again, God called Israel lost sheep, the lost sheep of Israel. And he would come after them. He would seek them out. He would save them from their stupidity. I look back at my life, and I see God doing the same thing. I did what a lot of you maybe have experienced. You may have grown up in church. I did. I knew a lot about the Bible. I could quote you as a teenager hundreds of Bible verses. I had all the stuff down, the pet sayings, And man, we were a 3 and 10 family. We went to all 3 services, and we gave 10% of our income. I mean, we were committed. My folks were committed. But I did not have a relationship with the shepherd. I had a relationship with church people and with doing church, but I didn't have a relationship with the shepherd. And so when your kids' parents don't know Christ as Lord and they leave your house, they are going to wonder. They're going to get entangled. And if Satan has his way, they're going to be overwhelmed. As they head out today, if they don't have that relationship with the shepherd, they're in trouble. They're walking dead is what they are. It's just a matter of time. Sheep without a shepherd are soon lost. And I am so glad that we have a shepherd who comes after us and pursues us in love. I look back at the patience of God, and I am astounded. And so are some of you. If you be honest with yourself, God waited for you to get out of your stupid life here, and sometimes you had to hit the wall before you woke up and said, I can't do this. Yeah, you have a shepherd. He's been pursuing you. All the time in my life, God's been pursuing me. And there have been times, keep away. I want to do this thing on my own. I want to wander some more and endure some more pain, some more heartache. I am so glad that God pursued me in love. Let me ask you, who is your shepherd? I'm not asking you about your religion. I'm asking, who is your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? God was the shepherd of Israel all through the Old Testament. And Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I am that shepherd. They used to build the sheepfold out of briars and sticks and anything that could keep the predators away. And then they'd have one door to get in. And Jesus says in John 10, I am that door. And it just reiterates what he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. There is no other shepherd in our lives except Jesus. He's the one that died for us. He's the God that's pursued us. He's my shepherd. Is he yours? Is he your personal Lord and Savior? Have you come to faith? Not just saying the sinner's prayer. You can't find me any place anybody was told to pray the sinner's prayer. But it's a matter of expressing my faith through my life and repenting. If there's something left out today, it's repentance. You can't have a salvation experience and continue to live your life for you. You got to live it for Jesus. I know that's a process, but that's called repentance. You do it His way. You don't compromise anything. You obey everything that He has taught us. That's what a disciple does. And He says, go make disciples, baptizing them. A lot of people want to leave this out, saying it's not necessary. Well, you show me in the book of Acts where it's not necessary. Because I'll show you time after time, as soon as they believed, they were baptized. There wasn't any waiting, saving up days. I'm excited. There's two more baptisms this afternoon in between services. People are realizing that when I come to faith, oh, I need to respond to Him in faith in Christian baptism. And I believe it's where the gift of the Holy Spirit comes in our life. So let me ask you again, who's your shepherd? Who are you following? Who's the one that's leading your life?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. This is not a book to read. This is the voice of the shepherd. How much are you listening to Him compared to how much you're listening to the media of the world? If you tell me that, I can probably tell you how much you're wondering, distracted, and pulled away. So, who is your shepherd? Jesus is the shepherd of us. And you know how we direct and lovingly lead this church? As shepherds. You know what Jesus told Peter right after He died and His resurrection? He met Peter and He says, Peter, I want you to care for my sheep. Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Peter says to the elders in the church in 1 Peter chapter 2, I want you to not lord it over the flock, but pastor and care for them. You know what biblical leadership is, men, in your home, with your wife, with your kids? It's you shepherd them. You don't pull rank on them. You don't pull your sheriff's badge out and say, I'm in charge of this household. You lovingly shepherd like Jesus. So, who is your shepherd? Jesus is mine. I pray that He's yours. I thought a good way to close today would be for us to go over the Shepherd King's Prayer. It's the 23rd Psalm. But I got to looking at a number of translations, and I this is one from the Message. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but it really, would you read it with me as closing? God is my shepherd. I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through the Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Father, I pray that everyone here knows the joy and the blessings of You being their shepherd, Your Son being their shepherd, the shepherd's voice in us, the Holy Spirit, and Your Word. Father, I pray that every one of us, and maybe there's folks here that have wandered away, because we are so prone to do that. And they're here, and they realize internally that they've wandered away. Father, my prayer is for them to return if they know Christ as Lord, or to make Him Lord of their life today, right now. Father, I just could not go through this portion of your word without realizing how patient, how loving, how persistent your love has chased after me. I want to humbly thank you for it. And may each one of us realize the joy of being your sheep. We are, just like the Old Testament prophets, so prone to wander, they say. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. And Father, for those of us that are yours, we just humbly give ourselves to your leadership, to your spirit, to your word, to your relationships of encouragement that cause us to follow in the steps of Jesus. Thank you for this parable. Thank you that you would leave those who are righteous by their own standards and come after me. Father, even when I didn't know what I was missing, you loved me. May you love people back this morning. It's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.